Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. This is the word of the Lord. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent away and found it just as he... So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." It wasn't my intention to preach on this passage again, but one of you asked me about the meaning of the crowd's statement in verse 38, "peace in heaven." And though we did speak on that, it was brief, and I'm not sure I did a very good job of explaining it. So I thought that tonight, before moving on to the next passage, it would be good to consider in more detail the meaning of this phrase, "peace in heaven." It is part of a larger statement, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And it is worth noting that the language used here is unique to Luke's gospel. This scene of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is recorded in all of the gospels, and the words of the crowd are recorded in all of the Gospels. But there is something unique to Luke's Gospel in what the people say. Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, "And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" And Mark chapter 11, verse 9, and those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest. And then John chapter 12, verse 13. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. All four accounts are very similar, but they are not identical. Matthew's gospel emphasizes Jesus being the son of David. Mark's gospel emphasizes the coming of the kingdom of David. John's gospel emphasizes Jesus being the king of Israel. And all of these are closely related ideas. But what is unique to Luke's gospel? What is unique to Luke's gospel is this phrase, peace in heaven. It is only in Luke's gospel that we read this phrase, peace in heaven. Now we might wonder what the crowd meant by it. What did they mean by saying peace in heaven? But we want to be careful here. We don't want to hang our understanding on the understanding of the crowd, or even on the understanding of Jesus' disciples. For we have already discussed how much they misunderstood. How much they misunderstood about him, even when their words about him were true. As we said before, they knew that he was the Christ, but they did not understand what it meant for him to be the Christ. A Christ who must suffer. A Christ who must suffer even unto death for the salvation of his people. And so here, we should be less concerned with what the crowd might have understood by these words, peace in heaven. And we should be more concerned with what Luke, the author of this gospel, would have us understand by these words, peace in heaven. Why did he record them? Why did he include these words in his account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem? Now we've already noted that Luke's introduction to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is also rather unique to his gospel. It is in Luke's gospel alone that we find the comment in chapter 19, verse 11. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable. Because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. This comment is unique to Luke's gospel, and it sets the stage in Luke's gospel for Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Now, we've already discussed that parable that Jesus tells at some length, but you'll remember that in the parable, a nobleman goes to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and then return. And we saw how that nobleman was Christ, and the far country heaven, and the kingdom of God. The parable explains beforehand the necessity of Christ's ascending into heaven, there to receive the kingdom of glory. And so, in the context of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, as we read Luke's gospel, we know not to expect that the kingdom of God is to appear immediately upon his entry into Jerusalem, nor even that it will appear immediately after his resurrection from the dead, but that it will appear only after he has ascended into heaven for a time. From which place he will come again, at which time the kingdom of God will then appear. And so, as we read of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, where have our minds been directed? As we read of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, our minds have already been directed to heaven. Our attention has been directed to the Jerusalem that is above. Our thoughts are taken to the heavenly Mount Zion. Jesus, having already told us that he was going to Jerusalem to suffer and die and be raised, we read of his entry with the expectation that he goes not only to ascend the earthly Mount Zion, but to ascend the heavenly Mount Zion. That he goes not only to enter the Jerusalem that is below, but to enter the Jerusalem that is above. Not only to enter the earthly temple, but to enter the heavenly temple. As we read of Jesus' approach to Jerusalem in Luke's gospel, our minds have already been set on heaven. And so then it comes as no surprise to hear, as Jesus draws near to Jerusalem, peace in heaven. Peace in heaven. But what does it mean? What does it mean, peace in heaven? This phrase is unique to Luke's gospel. And so we need to read it in the context of Luke's gospel. And when we read it in the context of Luke's gospel, his whole gospel account, this phrase, peace in heaven, it may sound familiar. It sounds very much like something which we have already heard, which we have already read. It sounds very much like something which we heard at the beginning of Luke's gospel, on the night of Jesus' birth. In Luke chapter 2, on the night of Jesus' birth, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." In Luke chapter 2, after the birth of Jesus, the host of heaven appears, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth." This is very similar to what we hear in our passage in Luke chapter 19. This is very similar to what we hear from the host of Jesus' disciples as His death and resurrection draws near. They praised God. They praised God and said, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." These words of praise are very similar. And yet there is one striking difference. And what is the difference? The angels say, "Peace on earth." The disciples say, "Peace in heaven." The angels say, "Peace on earth," but the disciples say, "Peace in heaven." Now, surely we do not doubt the truth of the angels' words, but we might question the truth of the disciples' words. After all, we have found that they were filled with misunderstanding. And we may wonder here whether they have misspoken. But that is not what Luke invites us to do. Luke does not invite us to question the truth of the disciples' words. For there were some who questioned the truth of their words. There were some who questioned the propriety of what they were saying. There were some who were scandalized by what they were saying. And who were they? The Pharisees. It was the Pharisees who were scandalized by what they heard on the lips of Jesus' disciples. And the Pharisees tell Jesus to rebuke His disciples for what they have said. Rebuke them for saying, "Peace in heaven." But Jesus does not do so. He does not agree with the Pharisees. He does not rebuke his disciples for anything that they have said here. But instead, he rebukes the Pharisees for what they have said. He says that if they were silent, if his disciples were silent, the very stones would cry out. The very stones would cry out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Whatever the disciples might have understood by their words, we should not doubt the truth of their words. For the truth of their words is affirmed by Jesus himself. But it is curious nonetheless. Why did the angels say peace on earth? And why do the disciples say peace in heaven? What is the significance of the angels saying peace on earth and the disciples saying peace in heaven? And to understand the significance, we need to remember not only from where the words were spoken, but when the words were spoken. In Luke chapter 2, upon the birth of Jesus, the angels in heaven proclaim peace on earth. And why? Because in the birth of Jesus, God descended from heaven to earth. In the birth of Jesus, God was dwelling with man on earth. And then Luke chapter 19, prior to his death and resurrection, the disciples on earth proclaim peace in heaven. And had they not, the very earth itself would have proclaimed peace in heaven. And why? Because in the exaltation of Jesus, a man has ascended from earth to heaven. In the ascension of Jesus, man dwells with God in heaven. The peace proclaimed by the angels and the peace proclaimed by the disciples, the peace proclaimed in heaven on earth, and the peace proclaimed from earth
in heaven. What is that peace? It is the end of strife. It is the end of war. It is the peace of fellowship. The peace of communion between God and man. And in Christ, who is fully God and fully man, there is peace with God on earth. And there is peace with God in heaven. From the beginning of his life to its end, the purpose of Christ was to make peace between God and man. The mission of Christ was to bring peace between God and man. To bring peace on earth. To make peace in heaven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. In Christ, you have peace with God. Peace on earth and peace in heaven. For in Christ, God has dwelt with man on earth. And in Christ, you will dwell with God in heaven. Set your minds then on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Let us pray.